This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon, it is Friday.
Yes, what's cracking, people?
It's 4 p.m.
I hope you're ready for the weekend.
I am.
I'm nearly ready. Yeah. This is going to start my weekend.
Well, officially, I call it now. Weekend starts now.
Trust me.
Getting ready. For the next hour, we've got a jam-packed show full of some lovely guests, games, entertainment news.
And in case you're wondering which is the other voice that isn't Johanna's, it's me, TJ. Yes, I'm back, lovely people.
Teej World.
Teej World, come on. Hit me up on the Teej World Instagram, TWJ. World, same with the Twitters and all that other stuff. If you like what you hear here,
you can
slide
also
in my DMs.
So yeah, okay, go slide in his DMs.
I take it. Go on.
If you want to get involved in today's show, then you just have to tweet us at FUBAR Radio, or you can email directly into the show, chill@fubarradio.com. Let us know what you're up to and what you're liking. What have you seen recently at the cinema, theatre, on Netflix that you're loving or hating?
Yes, we like.
We want some film reviews here. Like, help us with some film reviews, guys.
Good and bad.
What have you been loving, Teej, at the moment?
Well, okay. What have I been loving? Well, I've been on the old Netflix, as you do.
On the old Netflix, yes.
Yes. Today, officially released, is Santa Clarita's Diet.
Part two, series two.
If you haven't seen series one, it's a great series with Drew Barrymore, where she's like an after dead zombie.
It's wacky
person.
As fuck. It's a zombie comedy.
Zombie comedy, but she's not a zombie. She's like a flesh eating human person, dead, undead person.
Which
thing.
Is basically a zombie.
Zombie.
She's like not a zombie, but she's like totally a zombie.
Yeah,
you know what
she's
mean?
Not falling apart or anything. Anyway, it's really weird and it's really funny. It's a real good dark comedy, so I suggest you go and watch that.
For sure.
Also, I've been on a website called shortoftheweek.com. It's a website that has lots of short films. From all around the world.
Culture.
From all around the world. It's got like action shorts, it's got drama shorts, it's got dark comedies, sci-fis, all sorts of shorts, and in like high production. So I suggest you get onto shortoftheweek.com and have a flick through there. It's something different. Some of them are like 5 minutes, some of them are 20 minutes, but it's a great website.
So it's like a if you want to do like a really short Netflix and chill.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you've got shit to do, but you also want to.
Yeah, I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Then get on that. One thing that I have to shout out because I've absolutely been loving it. It's called On My Block on Netflix.
I was talking about this at my mate's tattoos shop today.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's about this like gang of teenagers who are. It's meeting up the day before they go back to the first day of high school, and it's that kind of weird age. Over the summer, they've all kind of aged. One of the girls has got boobs, like it's all
okay.
It's the turning of age, and it's like two Latino boys,
yes.
One mixed race girl, one black guy, and I think that's it. That's in the gang.
Yeah. Are they a gang or are they a group of young people?
Because no,
they look quite colourful. I've seen the poster. They look like,
yeah, they're a group of friends, and it's kind of in like the kind of the wrong side of the track neighbourhood, I think, in
yeah,
LA.
Yeah, like in LA, yeah.
And basically, over the summer, one of the Latino guys has actually been jumped into a gang.
Oh, really?
And they're trying to get him out of this gang.
Ooh.
It's funny.
It sounds like it's all popping off.
On My Block. And I've been watching it until like 2:30 in the morning, and then I fall asleep and I'm like, damn it!
That's what I'm saying. I've seen the reviews. I mean, it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
It's good.
Right, we're gonna crack off the show with the first song. This is an album that I can't stop listening to. This album, it is the Greatest Showman album. Have you seen that film?
No.
Oh my god, babe! Well, you need to.
It's not a musical, is it?
And you need to see it before my birthday because I'm having the Greatest Showman themed birthday party.
Oh my goodness! Where's the nearest bridge? Text me so I can go jump off it.
No. So we're gonna crack off with the first song by Hugh Jackman on the Greatest Showman. This is Back Row and Chill.
gents, this is the moment you've waited for. You've been searching in the dark, your sweat soaking through the floor. And buried in your bones, there's an ache that you can't ignore. Taking your breath, stealing your mind, and all that was real is left behind. Don't fight it, it's coming for you, running at you. It's only this moment, don't care what can gather. Your fever dream, can't you see you getting closer? Just surrender, cause you feel the feeling taking over. It's fire, it's freedom, it's flooding open. It's a picture in the pulpit and your blind devotion. There's something breaking at the brick of every wall, it's holding all that you know. So tell me, do you want?
Did get me ready for the weekend. Oh, God! This is the greatest show! Oh, gosh. This is the greatest show on radio right now. So if you're listening, tell a friend.
Back Row and Chill
is where it's at.
FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, it's quite a fitting song. I like it. I mean, let me be the judge as how good that movie is.
All right.
But
go on.
We'll see. And I'm looking forward to this party now.
Yeah, my birthday party, seriously. Yes. And everyone's got to come as, I mean, because I'm saying it on the radio, I guess everyone's invited. Everyone, Johanna James' birthday party.
You have to pay £100 a ticket, just, PayPal Tiege World.
Make it an event. Make it an event. On Eventbrite.
Eventbrite.
I want everyone to come as a character from The Greatest Showman, or just like general circus character, circus freak.
Is it?
You could be like the tattooed man.
The tattooed man.
Because you are covered. You've just got new tattoos, haven't
you? Yeah, I just got my stomach done. Like, I got a little bit of a Tupac Shakur thing going on my stomach.
What did you have on your stomach?
It says, Johanna is queen.
What was it?
No, it says, Made on Earth.
Made on Earth.
But it looks like Made in England, but it says Made on Earth. Like,
made in England.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But it's not like that.
It's a bit of a thuggy tattoo, that one.
It is quite.
Yeah.
I'm going for that look.
But what if you weren't made in England? Made on Earth. You're
fortunately,
definitely...
I checked my... Yeah. I made on Earth. Yeah. Was I made on Earth?
Where did you make me?
Earth. Mars.
But what if she, you know, got it down on an aeroplane? Is that technically Earth?
Nah, bruv. My mum never flew.
Or in like a treehouse, technically. Not on Earth. You've got to be very specific.
Look, I ain't trying to know those ins and outs.
I've never actually asked my mum where I'm conceived. If anyone is brave enough to ask their mum where they were conceived, then please tweet us at Foo Bar Radio or email in. But let's see if we can find like the weirdest place someone was conceived ever.
Yes, please.
Out. My mum is probably listening. Don't email the show, mum. I don't want to know, actually. On second
thought. Oh, I don't. Can we move on, please? Yuck.
Right, okay, moving on. A little bit of entertainment news for you
guys.
Right, so KSI and Logan Paul, it's just been announced that they are fighting each other this year in Manchester Arena. This is an American and a UK YouTuber having a boxing match. It is going to be epic. And if you do not know who KSI is or Logan Paul, then
you must be living under a rock. Or you just need to
rock.
Or just pop on YouTube. But all I can say to that is...
They should
YouTube stream live.
I think
or whatever.
They are definitely gonna.
Because I'm gonna put that on the TV. It's gonna be woo.
And what's kind of cool about it is that Logan Paul is an actual kind of real life he's a real life bad guy at the moment, because he was the one that got in trouble recently
for
putting a vlog featuring a real dead guy who'd commit suicide. Big no no. And then he returned to YouTube with a vlog. Then his next vlog was him tasering live rats. So YouTube have cut ties with him and they've stopped any monetization on his page.
Really?
Yeah, he's not making money off that now. So obviously that's why he's agreed to fight KSI, because he's going to get dollar for that.
Yeah, of course. But what a donut, like. I mean,
what an absolute donut.
And I think aren't his followers like 11 and 12 year
old?
Yeah,
his biggest following is in the like under 16.
So you know, come on,
be
fella.
Be responsible.
Do you know what I mean? If his biggest following was, you know, like guys on death row, I could understand. But
but
come on, dude.
And KSI obviously famous for his gaming online. They've both got 18 million and 17 million followers respectively, you know, so just a few people watching.
Just
their
a
lives.
Couple people.
Just a couple people.
Just a couple people.
But that is going to be an epic night out. I'm tempted to go to Manchester.
I'm
to get involved.
Slyly. Oh, man.
Get a minibus. Who's in?
Yeah. Yeah, come on. We should do like a coach trip, like, you know, like a Magaluf weekender to Manchester.
A Manchester weekender.
Manchester.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said Magaluf weekender, but you get what I mean, right?
Magaluf on the brain, is that where you're going?
Yeah, something like that. A coach trip. We should just
do a coach trip
to Manchester.
Do a road
party
trip.
Party bus, road trip.
I'm in.
Yeah.
You can drive.
Yeah, I can drive.
I can drive.
Oh, my goodness.
You said that, like, you can drive again or something. Like, I can drive again.
No, because I could actually just get the bus myself and then drive it.
Yeah, we can take turns. Let's, you know.
Let's see. But I don't know. Do you have to have a special license?
No,
I won't tell if you don't.
I don't know, actually. Do you need a special license? I think you can drive up to something like
small,
12 people
yeah,
on a normal license.
Yeah, a small minibus. But I'm talking, I want a big bus. I want one of those jumbo jet, double deckers, Ferrari underneath, barbecue on the side, satellite dish on top.
Hey, this isn't like Florida. Like, I don't think they have these things. I don't think we've got RVs that go to Manchester.
Oh well, a guy can wish.
We'll just get a 12-seater minibus, thank you.
All right, then.
Yeah, we'll make it cool.
As long as it's got a CD player.
A CD player. Imagine there's no aux cable.
Yeah. Oh.
Fucked. Absolutely.
Oh, blimey. Right.
Imagine us having a sing song all the way to Manchester.
I'm not the best singer. I don't know about you, darling.
Okay. Well, talking about Talking about, oh, I've just had a little note here. You can drive a minibus with up to 16 passengers using your current car. That is actually a lot of
that's
people.
That's a lot of people.
To that trust is, with your life.
That's a party right there, you know.
On a just a, you know, average car license.
Yeah, and then actually.
Good to know.
We could maybe take two 16-seaters, like, and then.
TJ, I think that you're overestimating how many friends we have, mate. Like.
No, but, you know, we get people to say. Anyway, let's just move on from this party, yeah.
We'll talk about singers, what you were saying. Yeah. Have you seen, everyone on the internet is talking about Chris Brown and Little Dicky Freaky Friday. Have you seen the video?
I haven't seen it.
Right. We're going to fix this immediately before we get our first guest on the show.
Because I'm a Little Dicky fan.
Exactly. Well, you will love this. I mean, I wasn't...
Pause.
I wasn't like a massive Chris Brown fan because of all the controversy.
Yeah, he's a bit handsy, isn't he?
However, I do have to say, his comedy is absolutely on point with this video.
Oh,
and he's kind of winning me back over again.
I hate that.
I'm like reluctantly liking you. But anyway, I thought I'd play it because it's hilarious. And if you can't, you've got to go see the music video as well because the song's funny. Music video is funnier. So we're going to play it on here and I'm going to show you the video and we're going to reconvene with the first guest of the show. Back Row and Chill.
Little Dicky, ooh, I woke up Chris Breezy. Oh my God, I'm the man. I'm so fly and I can dance. There's tattoos on my neck. I just FaceTimed Kanye. I told him I'm his biggest fan, yeah. Got all these hoes in my DM.
Yeah, I do.
Hold up. Holy shit, I got a kid. Oh, I can sing so well. Wonder if I can see the N-word. Wait, can I really see the N-word? Put up my niggas, put up my niggas. Big ups my nigga, we are my nigga. You pussy ass nigga, man, fuck y'all niggas. Cause I'm that nigga, 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 nigga. I'm that nigga. I woke up in Chris Brown's body. So how this shit turned into Freaky Friday. But we got no choice but to turn.
I woke up and I'm Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky? What the fuck?
This shit is real weak. How's Dick staying perched up on his balls like that? Walking down the street and ain't nobody know my name.
Whoa.
Ain't no paparazzi flashing pictures, this is great.
Whoa.
Ain't nobody judging cause I'm black or my controversial past. I'ma go and see a movie and relax. Hey, I'm a blood, but I can finally wear blue.
Cool.
Why's his mama calling all the time? Leave me the fuck alone, bitch. Wait, if I'm a Diggy body, Breezy is who? Hope my daughter's in school. Fuck, if I was Chris Brown, where would I be? What would I do?
I woke up in Chris Brown's body. So how this shit turned into Freaky Friday. But we got no choice but to turn this bitch sideways. I can't believe that it's Freaky Friday. It's Freaky Friday. I'm in Chris Brown's body. I look at my soft dick with the light. It's my dream dick.
If I was Little Diggy in my body, where would I be? I'm trying to find myself like an introspective monk.
I'm balling on the court, oh my God, I can dunk. Snap a flick of my junk.
My dick is trending on Twitter, fuck. Now I'm at the club, I talk my way to getting in. I look up in the VIP, my goodness, there I am. I signal to him, let me in, but he won't let me in.
I don't know who that is.
Wait, who the fuck you think he is? Took a glass bottle, shatter it on the bouncer's head. Welcome to that motherfucker.
Wait, think it through for a sec. If you heard me, then you only heard it yourself.
But wait, I love myself.
That was the key, now it's put your back. I woke up in Chris Brown's body. So how this shit turned into Freaky Friday. But we got no choice but to turn this bitch sideways. I can't believe that it's Freaky Friday.
Wait, what the fuck?
And now I'm in Ed Sheeran's body. It's way less cool than being Chris Brown was.
What the fuck again?
DJ Khaled, why am I yelling?
Huh. I'm Kendall Jenner, I got a vagina.
I'm gonna explore that right now.
Holy shit, I got a vagina.
I'm gonna learn.
I'm gonna understand the inner workings of a woman.
The inner workings of a woman. Do you understand the inner workings of a woman, TJ?
No, but I know a little bit about flowers and bees. Quite a lot.
Bees and flowers, birds and
bees. Yes, I know a lot about pollination, but I don't know about the inner workings of a woman. No.
Well, okay, that's your homework. Right, we've got our first guest on the show. A huge welcome. We got Sean, Veronica, and Ryan. Welcome on the show. Here we
hey.
Go.
Hello.
Hey.
You guys are in. Cool. So we're going to have a little chit chat about, well, lots of stuff. But first off, you guys are in. Raspberry. How do you say that? Raspberry.
Rhapsody.
Rhapsody. Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody, darling. Rhapsody.
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah.
A bit dyslexic, all right?
It's all good.
All right. Yeah, cool. So, let us know what that's about.
He wants to take that away.
Yeah. Go on. I'll start you off. It's a romantic comedy, right? Written by Mr. Kelly Cameron himself.
We've got a romantic comedy. We just kind of it's a young couple, millennials, in a council estate, and the kind of stuff that they go through, you know. But I just wanted to kind of have a different scope on it, you know. I've got a young black couple because I was like, you know, I don't really see that out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Instead of that going, oh, they need to do this and they need to do that, I was like, you know, we're creatives. Let's reflect what we want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So that's the basis of it. That's the mm-hmm. skeleton.
And so an observation of love and the impact of mental health on millennials. And I was like, ooh, I love anything that kind of brings up the conversation of mental health, especially with young people.
Yeah.
Because it's something that even with me and my friends, we're a little bit like, can't we talk about this? But she's like, it shouldn't be. It should be like, how's your mental health? Well, actually, Susan, it's like this. So I'm loving
that. That's so true. That's so true. Because all health is health. When you think about it, it is your mental health.
Same as a broken leg, mate.
Exactly.
Same as a broken leg.
Exactly.
Especially in a relationship as well. Mm. And how does that affect your relationship?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's never really explored. Do you know what I mean? And if it's not spoken about, then I feel like what we do in this play is you go, what is the, you know, mental illness and what is the actual character and their emotions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you don't have the information about that, then you just think it's all the character.
Yeah.
You know, you think it's all the person when there's something happening, you know?
Which is the, in the this couple, which one struggles with the mental health? Is it the guy or the girl?
Me.
It's the girl. Okay.
Yes. Nice. Asia is her name and she struggles with, can we say? I don't
want to
give too much away.
Spoiler alert!
Don't say that.
But yeah, she. I'll just say she struggles with her mental health.
Right.
And oh, speaking to the mic.
Yeah, nice into the mic.
Get it right. But yeah, she struggles with her mental health, and we just see how that plays out with her and her mate and her boo, her boo boo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you the man?
Who's I am.
Right, okay.
He likes to think he's the man, but you know, he's there for his woman as much as he can be. He's a very light-hearted character, as we'll see. You know, don't want to give anything away.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's with this girl. It's a very challenging relationship for him, and he's just literally does everything he can to put smiles on her face and just kind of go through the play.
And did you guys know each other before you got cast as lovers or as no? So it's just like, hi, nice to meet you.
Can I tell them the story of our first love?
Oh my
there's a story.
Yes, come on, we like a little story.
So I turned up first day.
Yes,
I was looking all fresh. Had my wig on and everything.
Okay,
all snatched and ready to go because I love working with Ryan. I've worked with Ryan before.
Brilliant.
And so I turned up to Omnibus Theatre, walked through the foyer, which is all like full of silk, you know, it's all like really like chic.
Yeah.
And Sean was just like sitting there and he was looking all cool in his leather jacket, like, hello. I was like, oh, well, hello.
Well, hi there.
I didn't know it was him. And went to use the loo before we came in, and then came into the rehearsal room and he was there.
Started from there,
really. And I was like,
oh, that's the guy.
Hi.
Everyone else sitting in the foyer, I was like, wait, where is everyone? Like, am I early? Am I late? And then I remember she walked to the toilet. She's like, who's that? Oh, she's got some nice jeans on there.
Hey. And
I was like, oh, is that the girl that went to the toilet? Okay, it's you're right.
That's brilliant.
It was nice.
So was you both at your first audition when this happened?
No, no. We
was this the second part or first part?
Because the auditions were two groups, weren't they?
Yeah.
There were two groups. And
we weren't in the same group. group in the
audition. He was in the morning group. I was in the afternoon group.
So you met on your second round?
No, they got met
when they were cast.
When you finally cast.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay.
Yeah. On the
Understood.
Yeah.
I see.
So it was literally just like, get to know her.
And you said, where's everybody else? Isn't it a two-hander?
No. Basically, what I mean, because I was sitting in the foyer.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were in another room. So I was just like, am I sitting in the correct room?
Okay. Like, where's all the rats and everyone else? Yeah,
so
I get
when
you.
I saw her go to the toilet, I was like, who is this girl? Why is she going to the toilet? Why is she wearing tight jeans?
I hope that's my wacky for the play.
You're right, you know what I mean? When I came in the room, I saw her, I was like, alright, cool. Let's
You know what? It's a bit too much emphasis on these jeans.
I don't know what they were.
He doesn't know, he's still Googling them now.
Wrong play.
Okay, brilliant. That sounds amazing, guys. Ryan, can I ask you, so what made you want to write this play, and where did it come from? What was your inspiration, your muse, or is it from personal, or is it from observation?
Again, I feel like it's representation. And for me, I was just reading a lot of stuff as a playwright. I was reading a lot of stuff, and I was like, how comes there's not any kind of love stories from my kind of background? Do you know what I mean? I was like, we got stories. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're interesting. So instead of complaining about it, I was like, okay, let me start writing some stuff. And I took it to Arcola Theatre, and they were like, we like this. It's so different. We like it. So they were like, okay, what are you guys doing next year? I'm like, let's talk cool. business.
What is your background, just to ask? So you said from your kind of background.
So I'm from a working class kind of background, kind of like, I'm from Lewisham.
Mm-hmm. Me too, where
no
from?
Way.
Sorry, that was DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled, me too.
We the best, Lewisham.
Calm down. Yeah, so Lewisham, from Catford. I live in Catford.
No way.
I'm South East.
Are you South East? Yeah.
A bit of Greenwich, bit of Woolwich Arsenal.
Are you from South as well?
No, I'm from North West.
From North.
Oh, bruv.
North Weezer.
Shame.
How about that? North Weezer. When that song came out, I wanted to be from that. Yeah. Well, we've got South London. Yeah. You do get everywhere, don't you? Yeah. I'm from East London.
Everyone knows you're from
fucking East London. Well, I come on, you can't tell.
The first thing he says, I'm from Bow.
I'm from Bow, yeah. Come on, born and bred.
No, anyway. I'm from Catford. Used to go down to the Catford Dogs to watch all the football.
Okay.
You in?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Many years ago, man.
So, Ryan, I've known you from many moon aback, actually.
Many
moon aback, my brother.
Exactly. Trust me. Many moon aback forever, bro. We were in a play together many years ago. I think about 2012. Yeah. I don't know, something like that.
I thought you were going to say 20 years ago.
No,
I was like,
2012,
wow.
Something like that. A play called Mogadishu, which got nominated for an Olivier. Come on,
easy now.
So them times there, you were a actor.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a playwright for, and what made you fall into it?
I've been writing for about two and a half years now. It kind of came, again, it came from a frustration of going, you know what, I'm going up for a lot of parts, but I don't feel comfortable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, why am I acting? Am I just acting to make money? Do you know what I mean? Like, where's the art in this? And I was just like, I'm complaining too much. Like, if I want to do something, I need to do something, you know? So I started writing, I started a company called Nouveau Riche. You know, shout out to all the Nouveau Riche massive in here. But yeah, we started a company and we were like, you know what? Like, we got some industry contacts now.
Yeah.
Let's start maneuvering with them. Do you know what I mean? Let's start making things happen instead of complaining about things not happening. Do you know what I mean? And since then, we've progressed, man. Queens of Sheba was our first play. Timbuktu, we just put on in Stratford Royal East. And this is our third production now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In the space of 2 years. It's so good.
Yeah.
So it's a theatre company. You said mentioned this company.
It's a production company, but at the moment, we're really pushing the theatre side.
Yeah.
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 That's
yeah.
So cool.
Brilliant. Good
and
honor.
How long, if anyone's like, I'm sold, I want to go see it, where's it on, how long till?
Cool. We're on at Arcola from the 2nd to the 6th of April, and we're on for 5 nights, 8 o'clock start. Be there.
Oh, 8 o'clock's nice because then you can have dinner.
Yeah,
so
make
work,
an evening of it.
Yeah. Dinner, put your nice tight jeans on.
look snatched.
Yas, everybody know, right? Everyone can talk emoji, yeah?
What?
Everyone can talk emoji.
I don't know that language.
I don't know that. Oh, yeah, I get that.
Does everybody know that one?
Yeah.
When the hand's up in the air.
Yeah.
That one means yas queen. Does everyone know?
No,
oh, I didn't know that.
No.
Yeah, it does.
That means yeah, bro.
It doesn't. It means yas queen.
I don't know about that.
I will have ruined that for you. Every time someone says it, you're going to just hear Yas Queen. Amazing.
Talking of emoji language, I went to see my friend the other day. She's a receptionist at a tattoo shop, right? And she's seen this rapper from LA, or she says her friend is. And she asked me, so he sent me horse, aubergine. What does that mean? He's coming over soon. So we had an awkward conversation. I had to break it down for her.
Basically, he's got a big dick.
I was so sorry for the poor girl. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up as we were on emoji language. My goodness.
Thank you.
What a guy.
Amazing. Yes. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on.
Thank you.
And yeah, I want to come see. I want to definitely come see the show. Mm-hmm. Sounds amazing, and I want to see this on stage.
Yeah. Oh, you will. Yeah. Trust me, you will.
Right, okay. Now we are halfway through the show, and because this is Backrow and Chill, we want to give our listeners an opportunity to get down and chill. So I'm going to play a little song for people to get it on with. You got 4 minutes exactly, people. If you're listening, and then we're going to be coming back with our second guest. This is Get It On Tonight by Montel Jordan.
Oh, ooh-wee. When I'm looking at you, I keep thinking, why can't she be like you? So I'm scheming, I can't go on like this, believing that her love is true. Oh, standing on the dance floor while she tricking, you are all I want, girl. She's a chicken. We might be together, but love is missing. Girl, I want you. So what can we do?
Girl, if it's alright, let's go somewhere and get it on tonight.
Let's get it on.
I got a girl, but you look good tonight.
You look so good, baby.
It's one and on one tonight.
Me and you, baby.
Trying to ice you, let's start walking over on the dance floor. It's her fault, but what can she do? Tell me, baby. Yeah,
and chill. We've just gone past the halfway mark of the show, which means it is time for our second guest.
Woohoo! Hello, lovely people. I'm T. Drolt, and I'm here with Johanna James, and we're with our second guest. Yay!
I didn't think that you could get any higher, but you did.
I know.
Well done. All on one breath.
I know.
From the diaphragm.
Come on, the diaphragm. Come on, National Theatre actor.
We are joined by George Egg. Welcome to the studio.
Hello.
Let's pop up the right mic. There we go. That's better. What an amazing name. Is that real?
No.
Oh. It's a stage name. It's all right. Get it changed by Deepole.
It is my stage name.
It's Yeah, it is.
I'll tell you a funny thing. Yeah. My whole family are known as the Eggs. This is completely true.
Okay. Wow.
And just because I've been George Egg for like 20-odd years.
Mm.
And about 5-6 years ago, we had some neighbours who lived opposite whose surname was Bacon. And our kids would play together on the street, the Eggs and the Bacon.
The Eggs and the Bacon.
And that's not a lie.
I mean, technically, we all start off as eggs, right? Let's get scientific.
Come on.
I didn't think I remembered anything from science, and then this week I went to a pub quiz with my friends.
Yeah.
And after two science questions, I got right.
Really?
But like I answered them I wasn't even thinking. They were like E equals M C squared. What does E stand for? I was like, energy. I don't even know. I don't know that, but it was right.
Yeah.
And they went, it all goes in.
And they I was like, oh, my year 8 science teacher must be so proud of me. Years later. And then they were like, what is a particle of light? I was like, photon. I don't know. I don't know.
Brilliant. Now that one. But it's now that one I would rate you for.
I know. Yeah. Everyone thought you have I was to know really
smart. The first one I felt like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can't come and get that. Like, you impressed me.
I was like, oh, I impressed myself. I thought, oh, okay. Maybe that I've been possessed by some very smart scientist from years back.
From years back.
Right, so you're the DIY chef.
Yes, that's me. Anarchist Cook, the DIY chef.
Anarchist Cook, yeah. Which is, I'm loving that.
Why the Anarchist Cook?
Well, the Anarchist Cook that's the kind of moniker I've started going under. George Egg, the Anarchist Cook, because that was my first show. So my first show was called Anarchist Cook. And that was, I'll tell you about this one. So first of all, this show, DIY Chef, it's basically about how to cook without a kitchen. And so on a stage, set up like the inside of a garden shed, I make a three-course meal. I make a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner using power tools. That's why it's called DIY Chef.
I've heard that. Yeah, I read that you do not use your conventional kitchen utensils.
Yeah, yeah. So it's in a theatre, and it's drills, wallpaper strippers, hot air guns, blowtorches, that sort of thing.
I feel like, how did that start? Were you just out and about, and you were hungry one day, and you were like, crap, I don't have a whisk, but I do have
exactly.
Philips power.
Well, the first show, Anarchist Cook, that was set in a hotel room, and that came from real life experience. So I've been a stand-up for, you know, like 20-odd years. Spend a lot of time in hotel rooms, hungry after a show, feeling a bit mischievous, bit sort of adrenaline-fueled after being on stage. And I started experimenting with the appliances in the hotel room. Worked out how to make food with irons, trouser press, kettle, hairdryer, that sort of thing.
It's actually a thing that they do in prison. They make kettle
that's
cooking.
That's the thing. I've had numerous people come up to me after the show saying, I work in the prison industry, and this is what people do.
Yeah.
So I've already got a kind of embryonic idea for the third show. So the first one's hotel, second one's
prison.
Shed. And then I'm thinking maybe prison. Maybe car.
So it's a prison break fast.
That is so good. Well, I am very intrigued. And can I just say, and I quote, that the food is actually quite good. So you don't just make it for like entertainment reasons. Oh, yeah. And I know you are a comedian.
I'm going to pick you up on the word quite.
No,
the food is exceptional.
Yeah.
Oh no, honestly, I'm not.
Yeah, that's what people say. It's like actually, it's more than edible. It's banging. Like.
It is. See, honestly, it's the sort of food that if you paid for it in a restaurant and it was put in front of you, you'd go, "This is nice. Let's come back. Let's come here again." Honestly, it's really
I'm amazed.
Gourmet food, and then the audience get to eat it at the end. That's the thing. So I cook the food over the course of the show.
Yeah,
and then at the end of the show, the audience, three members of the audience, carry the three plates of food out into the foyer of the theatre.
Yeah.
Everyone's given a fork on the way into the theatre, and
everyone
on the way
has
out,
a munch.
They have a try if they want to at their own risk.
Do you have a favourite food?
A favourite food?
Yeah.
Mm. Now this sounds ridiculous, but I would say a favourite ingredient is eggs, and that's not why I'm George Egg at all. I'm not George Egg because I've got a bald head. When I was George Egg initially, I used to have long hair and a flat stomach, and now I've grown into my name.
You've become.
Eggs are my kind of desert island ingredient.
Yeah.
I've started to transition from having cereal for breakfast to eggs for breakfast.
How do you have them?
I like a boiled egg, hard boiled egg chopped up in a pita bread.
Nice.
Really? I do like a
runny yolk.
A runny yolk. Yeah. But if I'm on the move, I can chop my boiled egg up and have it in a pita, and it's on the run. It's on the run breakfast. It's all included.
I like my eggs shaken, not stirred.
Mm.
That sounds like a euphemism.
I like my eggs fertilised, you know.
That's how Bond likes them. James Bond likes them that way.
What, fertilised?
No, shaken, not stirred. Oh, like his martinis. Oh my gosh, that went right over your head. Okay, moving on swiftly, Mr. Egg.
So if people want to come and see, then you're going to be at Soho Theatre.
Yes.
Very shortly.
Very soon, next week, next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 9:15. In the main space, and it's the perfect venue there because it's in the main theatre and it's got this nice steep raked seating.
Yeah. Oh yes,
and so the audience can see what I'm doing, and then the smells of what I'm cooking waft up. So you know, I cook this steak at the end with two blowtorches. It's seriously impressive. And then the audience, you know, at the top.
What?
So about 5 minutes after I've done it, you can just see them, you know, getting the smells and yeah, it's just like being at a good barbecue.
Do you talk everyone through while you're doing it? Do you have any music? I'm just imagining like a 90s style magic show with blowtorches.
Are you making jokes or are you talking about the food while you're doing it?
It's a kind of real mixture. So it's, I mean, essentially it's a stand-up show.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So there's lots of jokes.
Yeah.
Just the entertaining, amusing sort of raconteuring, you know. But then it's also a kind of illustrated lecture about how to be imaginative and creative and how to cook without a kitchen.
This sounds amazing.
And then it's like a cookery demonstration as well. So it kind of ticks the comedy box, ticks the food box, and ticks the something interesting box.
Okay, right. TJ, George Egg, we are going to try for the first time ever to play a game called Never Have I Ever, which is a game I got for Christmas. It's a card game, bit like Cards Against Humanity.
Okay.
I think I played this as a teenager.
Okay, well, it's a brand new game, so. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go. Well, I've given everybody.
Are you sure you want to play this with cameras in the room?
Yes. That's why. We're up in the stakes here, okay? Right, everyone's going to turn over their cards and have a little read through.
Have a look at all of them, yeah?
Yeah, have a look at all your cards. So on these blue cards in front of you is. Life decisions, various life decisions that we have to read out. And if you you say never have I ever to any of the life decisions that you have actually done. Okay.
So, okay.
That's how you play never have
I
ever.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you play it with alcohol, don't you?
I know, but we haven't got that, TJ, so we're going to have to just play it with...
Where's the booze at? Hello, producers.
I've read all mine.
Okay. You have to read them out.
Rules,
no, you have to read them out. We'll read them out. And if anyone in the group has actually done anything, you have to admit it, Scout's Honour, that you've
and
done
then what? So raise our hand or say,
yeah,
I have.
Yeah, you have to say, I have. It's confession time now on Fubar. We'll do that.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so.
I'm worried I'm going to be very disappointing because I've got to be mine in Gundam.
No. Has anyone danced on a table at a wedding?
No.
Has anyone had sex in an office?
I have.
You're one for the TJ. TJ wins one bad life decision.
Does the room at home that's used as an office?
That counts.
Okay. Yes. Well, yeah.
Oh, has
yeah.
anyone stolen someone's identification?
No.
No, I'm not.
I've used someone's ID like to get drink or get into a club. Like, everyone does that, don't they?
Has anyone here sharted?
Sharting.
It's when you shit yourself when you fart.
No.
Yes,
the that only happened on TV.
Has anyone said the wrong thing during sex?
No, but I thought it often.
You thought the wrong thing.
I probably have. I can't think
okay.
of a specific
All right, read
example,
out a couple of yours, TJ. Let's see
okay,
if we've
cool,
done
cool.
it.
No. has anyone ever purchased an adult pay-per-view movie on a business trip and tried to expense it?
No.
That feels like something from the past, doesn't it?
Yeah. Has anyone ever purchased it from a hotel?
No.
You've been that bored?
No.
Okay, cool. Let's do it then. Okay. Gone to a rave with some glow sticks?
Gone to a rave with glow sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not very pretty world.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Unless that's code for something.
Oh, here we go.
Glow sticks.
Here we got this one. Gone to work with no underwear on.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done that.
And weirdly, I thought I mentioned today, I quickly ran to the loo before the show and realised that I've got my knickers on inside out, but it was too late to change. Currently got the inside, I've got them inside out. And it's really annoying me that I know now.
Well, I've done the not wearing pants to work just because of
for fun.
Sort of, well, no, not for kind of sexy fun or anything like that, just purely because there aren't any clean ones. So thinking I'm just going to have to
emergency commando today. Out. All right, George Egg, thank you so much for coming on. This has been brilliant. I think we're going to keep playing Never Have I Ever because I'm loving this.
Shall I read out one of mine?
Okay, yes, read out one of yours, George.
Which one should I? I'll tell you what, you pick one at random.
This one.
That one there. Had a sexual dream involving someone here.
Producer Natalie, I'm very sorry to admit, but we have done some naughty things.
Crikey.
I say no comment.
I haven't yet, but now I've met you both. Goodness knows. I'll wake up tomorrow in a cold sweat.
Tonight, George. Tonight.
Possibly.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. Right, we're going to run to some... What are we going to run to? Oh, we're going to do... I want to do another one from The Greatest Showman. This is Me. This has spent 9 weeks at number one on the like, whatever they... Not box office.
I wonder if this is the one that my daughter sings around the house.
Probably.
That I've just got out of my head and then it's just going to come back.
Sorry,
now.
George. It's coming back.
To the dark, hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. Wanna cut me down? I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen, I make no apologies. This is me.
Presents Filmish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
Red Sparrow, this came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't know about this film, and then suddenly, bang, Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence. What the hell is it? I know nothing about it.
She is the niece of someone really high up in the Russian government, and he manipulates her into having to train as one of these sparrows. So she goes into training about how to be seductive. It is a really sexy film.
Did you get an erection? Just be honest. You did! You definitely got an erection!
I got half of one.
Semi. No, half.
Every Friday.
Filmish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
From 1 p.m.
FUBAR Radio. You are listening to FUBAR Radio. We are in the last quarter of Back Row and Chill.
Yes.
TJ. Oh, actually, TJ's moved. You're opposite me now, and I quite like this.
I am. I like it. I can look right into your eyes.
Right into my soul, TJ.
I feel like we're the Little Mermaid and the other guy.
The other guy?
Yeah.
Who's the other guy?
The prince, innit?
Oh, I thought you meant Sebastian.
No, why are you going to do me down like that?
Sebastian's like one of the best Disney characters ever.
Yeah, true.
In the world ever.
He's dope.
He sings like Under the Sea.
I like that.
And Kiss the Girl.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Trust me. That's my little brother's name, actually, Sebastian.
What, Sebastian?
Yeah.
Sebastian.
Yes.
But he calls her Ariel. I love it.
Ariel.
Beautiful,
man.
Have you got much plan? Got many plans this weekend?
Are
you going to be going seeing, watching, doing?
I'm trying to go to a little spot up the West End.
You're going to see a West End show?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing something. It's going off this weekend for me, actually. Do you know what I haven't seen?
What haven't you seen?
Black Panther.
Get out! I've seen it twice.
I know. I've been to the cinema twice to go and see it, and it was just booked up. They had really bad seats.
We'll
so
go now.
I just walked
now.
Out.
Right. Okay. I can confirm we have our last guest on the line. So technology, William, we're gonna get him on. Hopefully, Chris Addison is on the line. Let's have a little look. Chris, are you there?
It's true, I'm here. I'm
yes!
here using the magic of telephones.
It's magic, isn't it? I still don't know how they work. But
I don't know either.
I can hear you and you're live on FUBAR Radio. Thank you for joining us.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And, right, so I have heard all about your new show today, which I was like, oh, didn't know about that. It's the Glyndebourne Opera Cup, which sounds like it's in Harry Potter, which I love, first of all.
Yes.
And it's an international singing competition about...
Yes.
Young opera stars, which I was like, oh, love this move.
And it's going to be on the Amazing Sky Arts.
Yes, love it.
That is correct. Yes, it is. It's the first ever Glyndebourne Opera Cup. It's the so Glyndebourne is. It does sound like something out of Harry Potter.
Doesn't
in fact,
it?
One way of getting here is by a very lovely train. it's a country house in Sussex, where for 84 years every summer there's been opera all summer. In fact, to the point where a few years ago they built their own massive, amazing opera house in the grounds. It's brilliant. It's a beautiful place, and they have started. A cup for a competition for singers between 21 and 28, which is a great way of them getting a sort of leg up into the highly competitive world of opera. And yes, tonight we have the semi-finals on Sky Arts.
Also, oh, wow. 21-28, that means I can compete if I want to. TJ, sorry, mate, I think you're just out of that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just out of that bracket, but...
Darn it. Such a shame.
Don't worry, TJ, there's plenty of other competitions you can enter. I'm sure you're...
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not worried. I just feel bad for Glyndebourne for missing out on such talent.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fundamentally
me.
Their loss.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I know you. All right, there you go.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you're known for your comedy and your acting and your directing. Why the move to the opera show?
Well, it's not really a move. It's not. I mean, it's not. Well, is it a move? I suppose it's just me doing a thing that I really like. So I've been a fan of opera for years. I've come down to Glyndebourne every summer for the last 20 years or so.
Okay.
And I love it. It's just the most incredible art form. It's the best singing you could possibly hear at close range. It's amazing. It's beautiful and moving and all of the things that you want out of going to see somebody performing. And so when the opportunity to get involved with this came up, I jumped at it because it's always been a passion, but never been something that I do in my work. work.
And Chris, have you seen the new Amadeus production at the National?
Do you know what? I still haven't, because I couldn't get tickets. Have you seen it?
Yes, it's.
Is it amazing?
Yeah, it is. And it's a really clever. It's almost a modernised version. It's half modern, right. Half true to the sort of original 18th century. Like, so they have mobile phones, but they're in costume.
Right.
And Mozart wears Doc Martens, and it's just
good.
It's so good, because I think it's shows like Amadeus and maybe like Phantom of the Opera. They are really my growing up. They were my only real experience of opera.
Yeah. Mm.
So this is kind of cool. Sky Arts is making a move for young people, making opera cool.
Can I?
Yeah. Because the thing about it is, right, it's obviously, it's one of those things where you hear that word and instantly in your head you sort of see people in tiaras and dicky bows and all of that eating caviar off poor people. And it, none of it is actually like that.
Yeah.
I was telling this story the other day about, like, the best thing I ever saw in a comedy club was, like, about 20 years ago when I started out. It was in a really, but, you know, back before the smoking ban and all that, proper smoky, stale beer and sweat kind of comedy club.
Yes.
And it was a Friday night with a properly drunk crowd. And the MC said to, you know, just doing that kind of, oh, what do you do, to the audience? And this girl said, I'm an opera student. And he went, shut up. Go on then, sing us a song. And she stood up and she sang this song, which I didn't, like, I know where that's from now, but I didn't then. All I knew was I'd heard it on adverts and in films and stuff. And she sang this song, which is a song called O Mio Bambino Caro by Puccini. It's so beautiful. And no one was expecting her to do it, but she stood up and she started to sing, and people immediately went silent. Like a proper drunk Friday night crowd went totally silent.
Yeah.
And when she finished, they went lunatic, like proper kind of X Factor winner crazy. Because it's just, you're hearing a human doing a superhuman thing. Because they're using the voice, which is like the most basic instrument you could use, in the most ninja of possible way. There's something incredibly moving about it for any. It just sort of strikes you, right? And it makes your bones shake. It's sort of, it's just there. It's there in you to sort of hear that and be moved by it. And that entire crowd, who are very, you know, a very tough bunch of Mancunians, were just blown on the ceiling by the end of it. Yeah, I think it's for anybody, you see. I think once you get rid of all of the sort of trappings of the cliches of it, if you just listen to what people are doing, it's gorgeous, man.
Yes. Can I ask you, what are your thoughts? Because you said it's like a, for, you know, this competition's for, like, are based around young people. What are your thoughts about contemporary opera to you know, classical opera? And are you against opera not being sung in Italian and stuff?
All of that stuff. Well, so I think you should do what you want to do with it. I think it's really, I think the material is there, now do what you want with it. Kind of like that Amadeus production that you're talking about. And Amadeus was only written in the 70s, but it definitely wasn't written with Doc Martens, and obviously there weren't mobile phones then. But that's a legitimate adaptation, right? I think you should be able to do anything. So I think opera should be allowed to be sung in whatever language you want. It definitely helps if the composer wrote it in a certain language. That's the music that they've got in their ears.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The translation
when they're
writing could be a bit jolting, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And but so that's the thing. But it doesn't stop you from doing it in English. And I think the idea of modern operas, that's vital. There are companies around the world who are really doing their best to commission new works and get quite modern stuff going. There's an opera house in Philadelphia, if you Google, and the stuff they do is absolutely amazing. But there's stuff happening in our country as well. There's a great woman, fabulous young opera director called Daisy Evans, and she has this thing called silent opera. And you turn up to this tunnel in Bermondsey, and it's like there's only a handful of you, and they've pre-recorded the orchestra, and you listen to headphones. The singing is live, but it's sort of mic'd and mixed live into your ears, into your earphones. And they're walking among you during the production, and you're sort of, it's right there. It's like an experience and stuff. All of that stuff's really fantastic because it's keeping the whole thing live and new, and it's renewing it, and all the things that any kind of art needs to survive, you know.
Amazing.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Chris, thank you so much.
Oh, pleasure.
Guys, you can check it out on Sky Arts tonight. The grand finale is tomorrow.
Yes.
It is actually the end of the show, so we're going to say goodbye to you, Chris. I'm going to say goodbye to TJ.
Goodbye, nice to talk to you guys.
Have an amazing weekend, guys. Thank you. Bye, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And goodbye to all of you at home. We're going to see you next week on Back Row and Chill. And I'm gonna end the show, start the weekend with a bit of Run DMC. It's like that because, you know, that's the way it is.
And it goes a little something like this.